I think the Christmas season is so powerful, don't you? It's full of awe and wonder and children waiting with excited anticipation for Santa Claus to arrive. I love this time of the year because I think it changes people's attitudes and actions. I mean, just after Thanksgiving each year, the spirit of Christmas seems to erupt everywhere. As the Salmation Army bells begin ringing, kettles and angel trees, and the lives of those in need are filled with Christmas generosity. People just become nicer and more joyful during Christmas, don't you think? And the world becomes a little brighter, and we see possibilities of what the world could be. And while some people think that that is all due to those intrusive elves on the shelf, we know that it's really because we've taken the time during this season to remember the prophet Isaiah's words that Tim read. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. And then Isaiah speaks of the birth of a child. And then the gospel reading that we read from John tells us that that child is the Word of God made flesh who dwelt among us in Jesus Christ. And what he brings to us is real life, true life and light. And the light, John says, shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. All of our scripture readings for today portray this dichotomy between light and dark. And if we're honest, we can admit that darkness is frightening and darkness is powerful, but so is light. Light is powerful. The beautiful lights that we see sparkling from the rooftops in our homes and our neighbors' homes and the Christmas tree lights are just symbols of this powerful light that comes into our darkness and brings hope into our world each year. And so I was wondering about where this tradition came from of bringing lit trees inside of our homes at Christmas. And so I began a little research and I discovered that Germany is credited with starting the Christmas tree tradition as we know it today in the 16th century. So when devout Christians began bought and decorated trees, they brought decorated trees into their homes, but there were no lights as of yet. But then it's believed that Martin Luther, the German Reformationist from the 16th century, was walking home one starlit, Christmas evening, or a winter evening, and he was trying to think of a sermon in his head. So he was making up a sermon, and he looked up at the sky, and he was just awestruck by all of the stars twinkling amid the evergreens. And he wanted to capture that scene for his family. And so when he got home, he wired his Christmas tree with lit candles. And that was the first tree lit by light. So we've gathered here tonight because we know the power of darkness. We know how frightening it can be to literally find ourselves sitting in a dark place by ourselves. And most of us, I would bet, were afraid of the dark as children. Anybody want to admit that? I was. And so were my children. When my son was 4 years old, we were staying at my parents' house, and he was sleeping in the same room as my dad. And it was time to go to sleep, and my dad turned off the light, and I could overhear my son say, "Papa, I'm afraid of the dark. Would you turn the light back on, please?" And my dad said, "Were you afraid before I turned the light off?" "No." "Well, are you afraid right now knowing that I'm here with you in the dark?" He said, "No." And then my dad said, "Well, then you're not really afraid of the dark anymore, are you?" And he said, "Well, I guess not." And that was that. But sometimes the darkness, as it manifests itself in the world around us, and we see this on the news every night, the darkness of politically, socially, economically, or sometimes that darkness as it manifests itself internally in our lives as grief or fears regarding our family or personal struggles or relationship struggles. That darkness seems a little more daunting to overcome sometimes in literal darkness. So we've gathered in this beautiful chapel. We're drawn here on Christmas Eve because we know that light is stronger than darkness. We also know the comforting and healing power of light in our lives that's proclaimed in the story we celebrate at Christmas. And so for a few moments, in a world that has so much darkness, we are invited to reflect once again and to remember and reclaim the joy of this story and its meaning in our lives. It's a meaning and a moment so powerful that it has the ability to reach across 2,000 years. And it's a moment so powerful that it gave birth to the most influential person the world has ever known, splitting time into before and after his birth. It's a meaning and moment so beautiful that we return to it again and again and again. So in Isaiah's day, Israel walked in the darkness of exile and political oppression. And God promised through Isaiah, "You are not alone. I am with you in your darkness, and one day I am going to send you a child, and that child will bear a light into the world, a light that reflects my love and peace and joy and hope for you." And those are the things that are reflected in our Advent candles, love and peace and joy and hope that child brings into our world. So as the Christmas story opens in the Gospel of Luke, in the reading that Tim provided, Israel is once again living in the darkness of political oppression, only this time it's under the rule of Caesar Augustus and Quirinius, the governor of Syria. And Mary and Joseph are also living in their own darkness. You know the story. They made this trip, this difficult trip to Bethlehem, this rocky trip, while she is only days away from delivering their first child. They're alone. They're away from family and friends. They have no place to stay, especially no place to stay worthy of giving birth to a child, any child, especially the child of God. And right there, Emmanuel, which means God with us, is born. Not to royalty, but to two humble young parents, and not into splendid grandeur like we would expect, but in the humble setting of a stable and given a feeding trough as a cradle. And the news of what this means is announced by angels not to the Caesars and Quiriniuses of the world, but to humble shepherds, the lowest and the poorest on the social ladder of society. They're going about their daily work. They're minding their sheep. They're tending their flocks, as we notice, by night, in darkness. They are literally sitting in darkness, but symbolically, they too are living in a land of deep darkness and oppression. And in the midst of their darkness, suddenly a light shines, and an angel appears delivering the good news of great joy for all people. Today in the city of David, in the middle of your darkness, in the middle of everyone's darkness, to you, a Savior, the Messiah, is born. God is at work in the world, and God's promises have come true. And in the midst of Mary and Joseph's and the shepherds and Israel's darkness, God with us, the light of the world, is born, is present to bring light and peace. We don't have to be afraid. We are not alone anymore. So I was thinking about all of this week, about Isaiah and Mary, about Joseph and the Christmas tree lights and Martin Luther. As the Salvation Army bells were ringing outside of stores and kettles and angel trees were filling to overflowing with gifts, as people in the city were becoming nicer and nicer, I was thinking how this child that brought light and life and joy and hope that sprang forth from the shepherds and the angels 2,000 years ago is still bringing light and joy and hope to us today. And that was confirmed, I think, in one of the sweetest and most poignant moments I've had this week. I happened to live in the neighborhood near Preston and Royal, where it was really hard hit by the recent tornadoes. And there are a lot of homes in that area that are still boarded up, that are dark and waiting for light. And so I was driving down a particular street just after dark, and it seemed in the beginning to be so sad because the whole block, almost the entire block, was dark. And then I saw it. Inside one house, just one house, there was a small Christmas tree in the front window with lights on it, announcing to the rest of the world, a light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not and cannot overcome it. And of course, the undamaged homes a few blocks away that surround this dark neighborhood, and I'm so proud of them, they have their lights on full force this year. Not to say we have light and you don't, but to say and announcing to their friends, you're not alone. The light of the world is shining through us, and we are here for you. And in that moment, I was so thankful for Martin Luther and for Christmas Tree, those lights that he lit that first year, as a reminder of God's presence and God's great love for all of us. Friends, the good news is that whatever darkness that you are walking in today, into that darkness, God has shined a great light, bringing a message of hope and love and joy and peace to dispense all of our fears. And in this promise, we remember and celebrate today. And so, at the end of the service, we are going to participate in a symbolic act that the church has been doing for over 200 years during the singing of Silent Night. We're going to take a small light from the Christ candle. We're going to light a candle from the Christ candle, and we in the darkness are going to share that light with each other to dispel the darkness in the world. And then we will raise our light as a symbol. And this symbol is also an invitation to us both to receive and to proclaim to the world the message of Christmas, that as people who walk in darkness, we have seen a great light, and on us a light has been born and shown to us. And we will carry that light into the world tonight, the light of encouragement and joy and peace and love, to proclaim that the darkness, however it may present itself in our lives, cannot overcome the light of Christ in us. Amen.